about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let me ask you a question. I have a question. I'm gonna take a long short quiz here. How many people are doing really well today? Can we have some thumbs up for all those that are doing well? Yay!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So remember, man, if you come to work tomorrow and your secretary refuses to do the filing and then go home and find that your wife has refused to do the cooking, don't blame them. Remember, you gave them the vote 50 years ago.
Think of Putin. Pretty tough cookie, right? If Putin likes me and if he thinks I'm a good, smart person, which, I mean, I hope he believes it, I am. Actually, he's right. I am brilliant. You know that, right?
That's why we're Americans, right?
Woo! Woo, America!
Though I haven't figured out what your friend's problem is.
You smoke a lot of dough.
And now,
I don't want to put all my chickens into one egg and let it hatch into, I don't know, a dinosaur.
Our feature presentation.
Mm-hmm. I think that just makes good sense, just to be on the lookout for that.
Solid.
Nobody wants that. Hey, kids, welcome in. Yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. This time it's Thursday, and it's the 31st of August. Ladies.
Hey, Bean.
Where'd the year go?
I know, right? I'm the guy who always... You always accuse me of rushing through the calendar because mm-hmm. I'm very aware of the passage of time. But, I mean, it's freaking September tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on, you guys.
It is on.
It is.
And this is that sweet spot right between two-thirds and three-fourths Christmas, you know, where it just... It's like the snowball starts picking up speed.
I could walk out of the studio right now, but Kevin's not here.
We need you, Chip. Yeah. Just try and stay.
I'm stuck.
Yeah.
And like we said yesterday, you can tell. I mean, you can the crisp fall cool air mm-hmm. is just what that's the indicator right there that we're just right around the corner from that nice season. Yeah.
I think we're hitting 99 just in Los Angeles today. So I can imagine 112, 113 in the valleys. Mm-hmm. Oh, so nice.
I heard it was in the 80s at the beach. Now, that's too hot for me to go even to the beach.
Yeah, I think it was like 82 at the beach. Yeah. That's not okay.
That's not okay. Exactly. Speaking of the rushing seasons, I saw a fascinating article in the New York Times yesterday. And I don't think I know, Allie, your feeling about pumpkin spice flavoring. Are you at all a fan, or do you hate it? Or
I don't like the flavor. I don't like mm-hmm. I don't like it in coffee, anything like that. But I do like it in a candle.
Oh, okay.
I like the scent of it. I think that is fall to me. When I walk in, I smell a pumpkin spice candle. That's lovely. Yeah.
Now, were you ever and I know pumpkin spice has been around for a long time, but I feel like it became a thing when Starbucks started putting it in coffee a few years ago, right? That to me, and anyway, in my mind, that was the explosion of pumpkin spice everything.
Yeah, I'm a weird person. I've been told because I don't even like pumpkin pie because it has those sweat beads right in the middle and sweaty pie. I suggest you all do the same. Say no to sweaty pie.
Would you say that it is
moist?
Oh dear.
It sounds to me like it sounds to me like you're talking about a pie that is
moist.
Yeah, I am. Say no.
Well, this article in the New York Times says, and I'll read a little bit of it, retailers this year are reaching peak pumpkin before most consumers have changed out of their summer shorts. Think Christmas creep, but orange. A slew of pumpkin-flavored products inspired by fall are turning up earlier each year, arriving in July and August.
Oh, dear.
As a harbinger of a season that this year doesn't begin until September 22nd. That's when fall begins. But the article goes on to point out that there has been a lot of pushback this year mm-hmm. that people are not ready for it. You know, they're like, stay in your lane, pumpkin spice. People don't want to see it. Kind of like how people used to resist Christmas stuff showing up in August, and now we've just kind of given up. We just know it's happening, right? Social media is loaded with passionate advocates for the flavor, but some declared that with pumpkin spice showing up in pet food, chips, butter, and more items, it's time for the flavor to exit the zeitgeist. In case you're wondering, by the way, why companies are so into pumpkin spice, and I thought this was interesting. They talked to a brand strategist who said that the reason they do it is because you're trying to get social media to talk about whatever limited time offerings you have. Mm-hmm. It's a way to get free advertising. So if you can make pumpkin spice malted milk balls and somebody's going to put it on their Facebook page, you've just got a free commercial for your malted milk balls.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting to me that they're kind of chasing social media in making products that they don't even know whether people like them or not. Stores began stocking pumpkin spice Cheerios cereal in mid-August. Ugh. I think there's nothing wrong with Cheerios, by the way. I think they're fine the
way
they are.
All of this sounds disgusting to me.
Krispy Kreme stores started carrying pumpkin spice lattes and donuts this week. Cost Plus World Market has highlighted its pumpkin page in the trend section of his website. I got a catalog in the mail yesterday, by the way. It's all Halloween stuff. Other pumpkin spice products like Pepperidge Farm cookies and Werther's Original Candy have been around for weeks. Dunkin' Donuts is doubling down on its fall flavors. I took a look at some of the other things that are out there this year for pumpkin spice. Now, you don't like the flavors, so none of these are for you, Allie. But mm-hmm. maybe, Chip, maybe you could tell me whether you would be the... Like, for instance, would you drink a pumpkin spice Celestial Seasonings tea?
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a fan of pumpkin spice flavor.
At
either.
All. Oh,
yeah.
You either, huh?
Nah.
Well, there's granola bars. There's
are we even really women?
Are we?
Oatmeal. That's a great question. A company called Native this year released a pumpkin spice latte deodorant.
Oh, come on.
I'd eat that.
I don't think you eat that, Chip. Oh. Yeah.
You like the smell of pumpkin spice, Allie? Why only have it in your living room with your little candle when you can walk around all day and sound like pumpkin spice or smell like pumpkin spice?
That's disgusting.
All right. Pumpkin spice Jell-O. Ice cream sandwiches. Now, I don't mind pumpkin ice cream. I can't imagine a pumpkin spice ice cream sandwich, but okay. Marshmallows. Goat cheese.
Come on.
Get out.
Stop it.
And here's one more that surprised me the most. A company named Bistro makes packaged salads, and they have a pumpkin spice salad. In fact, they had it last year. It was very popular, apparently. It's a mix of baby kale, mixed greens, roasted turkey, pumpkin seeds, dates, and raisins. The pumpkin spice flavor is in the vinaigrette, which combines cloves, nutmeg, and cinnamon. Does that sound like that might be good?
That's not that bad. And I will say I had a pumpkin spice ravioli once that was a delight.
Oh, I've had that. That is good.
However, we need to stop this. We need to just nip this in the bud immediately.
In case you're wondering, by the way, again, going back to the Times article, the capstone event is the arrival of Starbucks' cult favorite drink, the pumpkin spice latte, the best-known pumpkin spice product in the market. 2 years ago, the drink came into stores September 8th, last year September 6th. This year, it is expected to arrive tomorrow. September 1st, and here's my favorite paragraph. Starbucks baristas are so nervous about the enormous ramp-up in demand associated with the launch that they began commiserating in a Reddit support group chat weeks ago.
I love it.
Imagine working at Starbucks and going at home at night and getting on the internet and going, guys, I'm sweating it out here, man. That pumpkin spice latte, it's almost here. It's going to be so much work.
Well, I'm glad they have each other.
So you say stop it.
Yes.
Yes.
When I say
moist.
Oh, come on. You've got to take that sound clip away from him.
Let's talk about...
Does it go to Seattle and do it?
Yes.
Talk about today's all-new Kevin Beecher, shall we?
I didn't have any feeling about you before, but now I'm starting to really dislike you.
How dare you? You won't dislike me once you hear this round of Floridians making the news. What's up with Florida coming up just after 6 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jim Rome joins us every Thursday morning. He'll be back today. I mean, is it time to put a pin in the Dodger season? I feel like Mama Muggs might have been onto something. Are they just going to forfeit the rest of the games?
Cut it out.
Does it even matter?
Just stop talking. Cease living.
We'll talk to Jim about that. Also, speaking of sports, we've got another chance for you to win tickets for this Saturday's game for USC football home opener. Dr. Drew on the program today, like we do as well. Gosh, what else? Oh, we had a conversation late in the show. Ralph brought up in the Showbiz Beat that there is some controversy around how Taylor Swift's verified fan ticket program is working. Mm-hmm. You buy things to get further in line, further up the queue, to be able to have access to concert tickets. And a lot of people are saying that's BS. Other people are saying, I don't mind it at all. But, you know, there are a lot of opinions on anytime you sell concert tickets. Everybody wants to feel like they have a fair chance of getting in.
Yeah.
And we thought that's kind of what the whole point of the verified ticket program was. But now it seems like not just Taylor, but a lot of bands are kind of putting more hurdles in front of you to even have a chance at getting the tickets.
Yeah, not good.
So what's up with that? And an update on the World Clown Association. They continue to complain about the It movie that's coming out. So we've got more on that. And Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat when we were... I never heard that part of the song before. Wow.
I liked it.
Thank you, Chip. All the times I've been hearing that record, I'd never heard the way it ended. That's
easy, pumpkin spice. The least attractive of the Spice Girls.
She got cut when they were making the first album, right? So we didn't really get to know her as well.
Yeah.
But where are you on Pumpkin Spice Rob? Have you looked forward to it? You enjoyed it all or no?
Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must
really?
Cleanse us.
Really? No room for that at all, huh?
Just into the desert in a bag with pumpkin spice.
I didn't get to this part of the article, but I'll just mention since you brought it up that there are many people who pejoratively look at those who enjoy pumpkin spice as being basic. And I don't understand
Totes
that.
Totes basic. Totes.
I don't get that, though, because if you enjoy the taste of it, drink it and like it.
No, it's
Why
crap.
Why should anyone else care?
Because it's crap. But and it doesn't belong in everything so and enough already with it.
Right.
Stop it.
But you don't like it. Does that mean somebody else shouldn't enjoy a pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks tomorrow if they do?
But that's the thing. It was one thing and it was fine. And now it's, pumpkin spice candy corn and pumpkin spice Oreos and pumpkin spice jambalaya. F you with your pumpkin spice. This is your fault. So in the desert bag, you.
That's our next T-shirt, by the way. In the desert bag, you.
Yes. Pumpkin spice fans are done. Finished.
5:54 Thursday morning. What's up with Florida? Coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat.
Let me give away something right off the bat. It sucks to be up this early. Trust us, we know. We feel for you. If you're listening to us right now, sorry that you have to get up this early in order to get to work or school, wherever you're headed.
And sorry you had to hear this show, too, by
the way. Yeah, sorry you had to start off your day with Pumpkin Spice Talk, which is Bean's new podcast. But you can start off your day better by getting a pair of passes to the advanced K-Rock screening of It.
Yay!
Movies and theaters everywhere on the 8th of September, but we're having a special K-Rock advanced screening on September 6th, happening at the Arclight Hollywood. Bill Skarsgård looks terrifying as Pennywise the Clown. Oh, my goodness.
You are all going to die tonight.
This movie, just the talking about it scares me.
I hope some of our listeners show up dressed as clowns for the screening. That would be fun.
No, it wouldn't be fun. It would be terrifying.
It'd be hilarious, because then the movie ends, and the lights go up, and everybody's like, ah!
So they would change into the clown outfit during the movie.
You come in late as the lights are down, and then there's just a clown right there in the middle of the theater.
Seems like a very complicated plan just to go see a movie early
and then not watch half of it.
Yeah, I think maybe they'd rather just come in and sit down and watch the movie.
I mean, that's another way to go, I guess.
Call us now 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number, we'll get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of It. Got an email yesterday from a young lady who won tickets to our screening. And she said, what's the age limit on the screening? And I said, I'm not sure. It's an R film, so that would mean 17 years of age or older. And she wrote back and said, well, but I wanted to take my daughter for her birthday, who's going to be 9.
Oh, no.
And yes. Will they reject her if I just bring her? Will they throw her out of the theater? And that's when I just forwarded that email on to someone else. I didn't want to deal with that
child
woman
services
any longer.
Wow.
But 9?
No.
No, for It?
No.
No.
No, I don't think for It.
What's wrong with people?
I wondered about our friend Jimmy Pardo, who took his little 9-year-old son Oliver to Dunkirk. I wondered about that.
Well, that's a history lesson.
Is that how you look at it?
Yeah.
Isn't there a lot of guys getting shot with guns?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could make some argument for that.
Yeah.
Decision. I don't know what you make for It, other than you just want your child to wake up screaming in the middle of the night.
Maybe the history of clowns.
Mm.
I read the book when I was 11. I turned out fine.
Oh, no, ma'am,
look,
if you're
what
listening,
a mess you are.
If you are listening, no.
You take your 9-year-old to see It, then you tuck her in, and then you bring in just a single red balloon, right? And then go on a string and just
messed up.
We all float down here, Georgie.
And you do that every night after she's asleep.
Right.
That's what she wakes up to.
Until she's a 35-year-old woman wetting the bed.
Moist.
Oh.
Hey, here's some good news. Piers Morgan broke some ribs. That's good, right?
I mean, I'm sure a large quarter of the internet is cheering that news, yeah.
The world is cheering. He broke the news on his Twitter account that he fell and broke 3 ribs, and then he thanked the people at the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital there in London for taking care of him. But that makes me happy.
You're an unbelievably stupid man, aren't you?
He's an awful person.
That's quite a fall.
Yeah. That's being on a radiator kind of fall right there.
Yeah, it is.
Bean fell on a radiator once and broke his ribs.
I did.
Bean.
Right?
Getting out of bed, right?
Yeah.
Getting out of bed.
How many ribs?
3.
3.
Oh, wow.
It was a full Morgan.
The full Morgan.
You are a dangerous man espousing dangerous nonsense.
Oh.
And Taylor Swift is the worst, continues to be so.
I'm not sure that's confirmed, by the way. I think that's really still an opinion.
Has a story about her, a new video, Look What You Made Me Do. And apparently, you know that scene where she's in the bathtub full of diamonds in her new video?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Taylor insisted on the diamonds being real.
No, sir.
Yep. And apparently, jeweler Neil Lane lent out $10 million worth of gemstones to Taylor Swift so she could bathe in real diamonds in the bathtub, and there was an insane amount of security on set to keep an eye on the gemstones as she shot that scene.
I think she continues to be very relatable to her teenage fans.
Me too, as she sat in her bathtub full of diamonds.
Oh,
just
insufferable.
Or she's playing a role.
Desert
or,
she, her,
or,
yeah. right?
or she's acting
Bag
in a video
desert her.
And she's playing a role.
But that's the point. You don't need real diamonds to play the role mm-hmm. of someone sitting in a bathtub full of diamonds.
Well, she's not a great actress. Maybe she needed that to get into the
they don't,
the,
they don't, they
the methodness of it
you
all.
You don't shoot William Shatner into space to shoot an episode of Star Trek.
What?
It's true, Allie. They didn't,
that was
they
shot on Earth?
They didn't actually go into space. Sorry to break your news.
She ruins everything.
We're having some very heated Who Shot Baz conversations off the air, by the way. If you watched Animal Kingdom this week, we're all on Twitter here at K-Rock.
What a ridiculous argument.
I think I know the answer. But...
It was Joe.
There's no Joe, Chip.
Come on, Chip.
You're not helping.
Jeez.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Gere is 68 years old today. Debbie Gibson turns 47. Chris Tucker is 46. And actress Sarah Ramirez, very talented, is 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Football?
By the way, this time tomorrow, Allie, we're going to be having so much fun. I mean, not to take anything away from today, but yeah, cover songs Friday tomorrow. We're going to do all K-Rock cover songs all day long. You can leave a message on the Afro line, and you should, at 323-520-AFRO if you have a request that you would like to make to put on the air. And then tomorrow we'll be playing all cover songs all morning long, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. First, though, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Let me tell you a little something about Florida.
Florida is our most penis-shaped state.
And it deserves that distinction, too. It's another crazy batch. You know, we just did a What's Up with Florida like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so much stuff is happening that it's getting harder and harder to even keep up with. And I love this story to get us started. This is Patreon is a first name, apparently. P-A-T-T-R-E-O-N. Patreon. Patreon. Okay. Stokes. 26 years old, pulled over this week on the highway for speeding. In the front passenger seat of his car was a 7-month-old child. Police said that they could smell marijuana coming from inside the vehicle. After searching the car, they found 197 grams of methamphetamine, rock cocaine, and 4 grams of heroin, plus a scale found in the car. He also had a small amount of marijuana and a large amount of money on his person. Now, that's why this story caught my attention and made the news. So they take him down to the jail, and then they notice that $20 bills are falling from his butt as they're chucking him into the jail. And they realize this dude has a lot more money on him than we knew.
Oh, no.
And then after, and here's how it's described in the police report, after a necessary but undesirable process for everyone involved,
God.
They located how much U.S. currency in Mr. Stokes' butt.
Oh, dear. You want us to guess?
I do. How much money did the man manage to figure out a way to hide in that cavity, hoping he could get away with it?
Thinking they're not coins.
$10,000.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if it was a bag of gold? Chip says $10,000. Yeah. That's
wow.
I'm just trying to even figure out how that would work.
Maybe $500?
$1,090 in U.S. currency. I hope there were a lot of big bills. I mean, if that's like all fives.
It was all singles.
Yeah.
I'd be really nervous about that.
Oh, dear.
Judging from Mr. Stokes' mugshot, he looks pretty bummed about the whole situation. The police report posted on Facebook, "For all of our wonderful cashiers in Marion County, we apologize for giving you this terrible mental image today. If you choose to use gloves during your daily duties, we will understand." He was also charged, by the way, with smuggling contraband into a detention facility because of all the dollars in his butt.
What about the kid? 7-month-old in the front seat. No one cares about him.
That kid may still be in the front seat of that car. God. I don't know. Whatever happens to the kid, he's going to be better off, though. For sure. Can all agree on that. Here's a mother-daughter crime duo. They are accused of running an unlicensed erotic massage parlor in the carport of their suburban home in Sarasota, Florida. Now, look.
That's just ingenuity.
I mean, right? Yeah, you give us some credit for a good old American, getting it done. But here's my question for you, Allie. Would you ever want to even be near your mom when either you or she were involved in unlicensed erotic massages? You want to keep that out of the parental family, right? Don't you?
You should, yeah.
I mean, they must be very comfortable with one another.
Well, you're adding in a carport in Florida. This all makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. Anne Marie Dodge, 55, and her daughter Jennifer Lynn Dodge, 30, both arrested after an undercover sting targeted them as running an alleged brothel operation. Undercover cops acting on a tip responded to ads posted on Backpage.com by the two women. Here's what Anne's ad said. I am a beautiful, talented, licensed massage therapist whom God uses to bring his healing energy to you and bring you a whole new level of ecstasy. I specialize in deep tissue healing and energy massage. And I guess customers were able to kind of read between the lines as to what was really being offered there.
Mm-hmm.
But they were both arrested after they both, essentially said, hey, for $80 more, we can take this inside.
Yeah, it was
shocked. Shocked neighbors said they saw 5 to 10 cars visit the residence per day, describing most of them as older white gentlemen. So a little something extra with your massage there with the mother-daughter duo in Florida. Here's a story I'm not sure we talked about over Christmas time when he was originally arrested, but he is back in the news. This man, his name is Rorn Sorn. He is a member of an Asian pride gang. He is a felon, and he accidentally fired a gun Christmas week while inside a strip club in St. Petersburg called Club Lust. Why did he fire a gun in the strip club? Why did a bullet shatter the men's restroom mirror before going through the wall and into the women's restroom? Thank God no one was hurt. Because he said, it was an accident, man. I was just trying to take a selfie.
Oh, dear. Geez.
Look, Rorn, you got to know the difference between your camera and your gun, dude.
Yeah.
When St. Petersburg police arrived, they found Sorn in possession of a .40 caliber handgun, marijuana, and Xanax pills. He was sentenced to 6 years and 5 months in federal prison. Like I said, because he was already a felon, so, they come down on you hard after something like that. So that's just a bad break for Sorn, right?
It's a tough night.
And finally, here's a bizarre story. A family that lives in Newbury, Florida, was having some problems with their plumbing. They're in a trailer park because, after all, we are talking about Florida.
Florida. Gotta break it off at Jacksonville and roll it to Cuba.
So they call out the company to check on the septic tank, and they start digging around in there. And they realize that it's just chock full of human bones.
Oh, no.
Human skeletal remains. Police say they're going to try to piece together the different bones they have to create the skeletal portion of the person to see if they can locate any identifying marks that may lead them to the cause of death. Septic tank company began pumping the tank this morning, began having some clogging issues, and discovered several bones that are, in fact, human, the medical examiner said. They are looking into details about the people who used to live in that spot that sold it in June of 2016. But under what circumstances does that happen? I mean, this is somebody hiding a body in a septic tank,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
And they imagine probably, and I think I might make this same mistake, hey, if you put the body in a septic tank, it's just going to evaporate. It's just going to dissolve eventually, and this will be the perfect crime.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess those bones took a little longer to go down than they expected to. But this is the beautiful thing about Florida, man, is you never know what you're going to get every single day. And that's why we have the feature, What's Up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
Foo Fighters on K-Rock, by the way, new Foo Fighters album finally arriving. I think, September 15th, I want to say? That's the date I have in my mind anyway. So right around the corner. Love that band. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. So yesterday on the Showbiz News, Ralph told us about the World Clown Association president, Pam Moody. She is not happy about this new Stephen King adaptation of the It film. And I was doing a little reading on this yesterday, Allie, and a lot of people think that the number of people that are afraid of clowns now, and apparently it's a lot, might stem from the TV viewing of the miniseries that was made with Tim Curry back in the early 1990s. That may have been the first exposure that a lot of kids who are now grown up as adults and are afraid of clowns had to clowns. Because they weren't going to see horror movies at the time, you know, they were too young. But that was on TV, so a lot of kids may have seen it, and that may have been their introduction to clowns and make them think that clowns are scary. And like clowns haven't been through enough in the last couple of years with those clowns in the woods and everything. Now,
I don't think there really were clowns in the woods, though.
Well, a lot of people saw them anyway, and a lot of clowns complained that, you know, that it was making them look bad.
Sure.
But now they're braced for it happening all over again because this new film, It, is coming out in theaters next weekend, and the World Clown Association is not happy about it.
Yeah, they're losing work.
They say they're losing work. So we want to find out if this is overstated or what the deal is. So we asked Dave if we could get on the president of the WCA, the World Clown Association. Pam Moody joins us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Pam, how are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Doing well, good.
I'm glad. Nice to hear it. I hope everybody there is doing terrific.
Oh, you sound like such a nice lady.
I am a nice lady. Thanks so much for recognizing it. And I'm a clown. You know, we like to bring people happiness. We tend to be happy people.
So do you think that Stephen King is not helping your cause to get people to just...
Heck he's not. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He's really... Oh, for clam's sake, what that fella's doing to our business is just a sin.
Well, now, I don't know if you saw him responding to the criticism by your organization. He said, the clowns are ticked at me. Most of them are great, but kids have always been afraid of clowns. Don't kill the messengers for the message.
Oh, that's a bunch of hooey, I think.
Is it? All right.
Because kids have always loved clowns, and they've been afraid of them until people like Mr. King and his ilk go about making them seem all scary in their stories and what have you. And, oh, for corn's sake, you know, we're just out there trying to give the kids a smile and make them happy at their birthday parties and their school events. And we're losing the jobs. And look, clowns are just trying to make a living, for Clark Barr's sake.
Well, what's the response been between the kids and their parents canceling these events?
Because they're saying their kids now are scared of clowns. And it's just devastating for us. That's our devastation horn.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know what anyone can do about it except for parents maybe to sit down with kids and go, look, that's a fake clown, but the real clown that's coming to your party is there to entertain you and have fun.
Well, it's getting real desperate. I'll tell you, we're losing money left and right. I know I am. It's hard to make ends meet. So I've taken a different tact. I'm starting to make more of an appearance and starting to just really appeal to the parents more than the clowns.
Oh, okay.
Especially the husbands and the fathers at the kids' parties.
Oh, Pam.
Yeah, I really give them, you know, I give them a reason to hire me. You know what I'm saying?
Pam, I think I know what you're saying, but you can't possibly...
Sometimes you got to take a pie in the face, girl.
Oh.
Come on. Everybody knows you got to do what you got to.
Pam,
King Kong's sake.
This is not going to help your image, though. It's just another problem.
Turns out fellas love a girl who puts a lot of white all over her face and
shows up
at a party ready for...
You sound like such a nice lady, Pam.
Ready for anything. Oh, for my comp's sake.
Oh, I'm nervous now. What are we hearing here, Pam?
That's a seltzer water bottle.
Oh, that sounds innocent and fun, yes.
I spray into my morning bourbon.
Oh.
Hey, I'm going to make you a balloon animal.
Okay.
You're elaborate.
Big animal.
can't wait to see it.
A lot of different aspects of this animal.
almost done there, Pam?
Oh, no, my bad. That was one of my Magnum condoms I use at work.
Oh, Pam.
Hoping we hear some killers tomorrow during the cover songs day that we're doing. Their version of Shadow Play, the Joy Division song, is great. Ralph, you ever heard their version of Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town?
Oh, my God, no. Sweet Jesus, no. Why would anyone listen to that?
Don't need it?
It's the killers.
I love it. Don't Take Your Love to Town.
I love that song, and I love how they
fire
do it.
Fire must cleanse us.
Hey, we'll give you tickets to USC's home opener in 5 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show if you want to be there to see the Trojans take on the new season. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Did anybody put Guns N' Roses' Live and Let Die on the list?
Yeah, we talked about that and Knockin' on Heaven's Door.
Nah.
Both great.
Nah. Live and Let Die, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good version.
I'm already pre-sad that that show's going to be over tomorrow because there's 100 songs we're not going to get to.
Sweet Jesus.
I mean, it's just sad. It went by so fast.
I'm coming down
It hasn't started.
I'm coming down with something.
Fine.
It's you.
No, Ralph. You feel fine.
No, I feel good. Oh, I better take some time.
Fire must cleanse us. Better.
Speaking of cover songs, St. Vincent. She has just covered a Beatles classic, All You Need Is Love. I don't know if we need anyone covering any more Beatles songs.
We're good. We're full up.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable argument, but those songs stand the test of time.
The originals sure do.
Yeah.
You can get those. They're still available, right?
Now, I believe so, yeah.
All You Need Is Love has been in the news lately because we just passed the 50th anniversary of that song coming out, right?
Yeah. Apparently, Tiffany, the jewelry store, has a new fragrance out. And this is part of their advertising campaign. So she has recorded a cover of the Beatles classic to be used in their advertising, but also apparently will be on her new album that will be released before the end of the year. Here's a little of St. Vincent's take on All You Need Is Love.
It's there.
We talked about Bruce Springsteen hitting Broadway. Tickets went on sale yesterday. Sold out, as you can imagine, minutes after they went on sale.
But you're still in the queue, right, Ralph?
I am on standby.
All right.
And so are a lot of other people. So much so that Bruce has added on 10 more weeks of concerts.
Wow.
He's extended the run another 10 weeks already. So Bruce will now do 5 shows a week at the Walter Kerr Theater through February 3rd now, and that's another 10 weeks. Now, if you've already registered through the fan registry program at Ticketmaster's verified fan site, you don't have to do it again. You are already in line for the new tickets that will be released. But if you haven't registered before, you have until September 3rd to register for this second wave of ticket sales. Here's the bitch of it, though. If you were registered for the first tickets that went on sale, mm-hmm. and you got tickets, mm-hmm. you're able to re-enlist and get in line again for the next group of tickets. This verified fan plan is just BS all over the place.
Yeah, I'm not sure who it's serving.
Plus, Bruce is making you buy a snake ring. For
no, that's the evil one. That is Satana. She's the worst.
And now, what's the deadline? I haven't registered for the Springsteen yet. When do I have to do it by?
You didn't do it for the first time?
I didn't. Well, I'm not in New York ever.
You're not anywhere ever where you need to be, and yet you go there all the time.
You flew to Nashville for Cat Stevens.
Thank you, Allie.
That is true.
So I feel like you could hop a plane for Bruce.
I do need to sign up for this, though.
September 3rd.
It was the 3rd of September.
Oh, wow. Wow.
No reason
wow.
I asked.
Wow. God. That's why
damn
he
it.
Asked.
I don't hate it.
It was the 3rd of September.
I think I'm getting sick too, Ralph.
I hate so much the things that you are.
And that ain't right.
Moist.
Okay.
And while we're speaking of the evil one, Satana, Tadoff Switler, her director of her new video, Look What You Made Me Do, is now stepping out and talking on her behalf. This Joseph Kahn, who I believe was Kirk's enemy, right? Was the one he fought.
Different Kahn.
Yeah.
Different Kahn. This guy's a good director. He did the Bad Blood video, too.
Oh, my God. This guy's an enabler of the evil one. And he says that Taylor Swift is a genius. Here's his quote. If I plant something as a man, I'm a genius. But if Taylor as a woman plants something, she's manipulative. This is double standards. This is wrong, he said.
Okay.
Right?
Calm down.
Right,
Mr.
Allie?
Kahn.
Thank you.
Stop painting this woman as a victim. She brings all of this on herself, and then it's like, oh, why are people being so awful to me? Stop it. Right. Grow up. How old is she being?
27, but I don't think she's involved in this discussion at all.
Of course she is. This guy's not talking out without her.
without being part of the plan. Her marching orders have been sent out to her people. You think he's just talking off the cuff?
I do. I think he's complaining that he doesn't think she gets enough credit for coming up with these video ideas.
The two of them have been accused of ripping off Beyonce in this video, and he had the balls to tweet the following. I've worked with Beyonce a few times. She's an amazing person. But the Look What You Made Me Do video is not in her art space. Love and respect to be.
Oh, rest in peace, sir. Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah. The beehive swarming now as we speak.
Yeah, he just signed his own death warrant.
Not in her art space. Are you effing kidding me?
What a dick!
Yeah, don't say that.
If you're going to pick an artist between Beyonce and Taylor Swift, who gets the nod?
Don't.
Right, don't even make that comparison.
I mean, look, nothing is lemonade, and you just have to deal with that, Mr. Khan.
Khan!
He is a villain, you're right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Gere is 68 years old today. Debbie Gibson turns 47. Chris Tucker is 46. And Sarah Ramirez turns 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Okay. Tunnel we got to do the thing.
That's Bean.
I know. I did it on purpose.
You can USC it, home opener against Western Michigan at the LA Coliseum is this Saturday. We are looking for college football fans, I guess. That's what, if you love and follow the Pac-12, you're going to have no problem with this game at all. So you can call us at 1-800-520-1067 and give you a chance to play a game to win these tickets next on K-Rock.
Jim Rome at 8 o'clock like we do on Thursdays here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Dr. Dupinsky on the program today as well. First, though, we want to give away more tickets to the USC Trojans home opener versus Western Michigan at the Coliseum this Saturday. You can buy your tickets, by the way, at usctrojans.com. But if you want to win them from the Kevin and Bean Show, you have come to the right place because we are about to play a game that we like to call Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a
USC football game.
So once again, the contestants here in the studio are going to be Allie versus Dave. I think Allie is undefeated at about 150-0.
No, that's Dave. That's
if I recall correctly.
That's me, yeah.
And we're doing Pac-12 football teams. So this is a super easy one because you kind of have a small universe of names to choose from. So the guys are going to be describing to the callers on the phone the name of a Pac-12 football team. All you have to do is come up with it. Now, for you guys who are given the clues, can't say anything about the school, for instance. Like if it happens to be the Trojans, you can't say, oh, from the school that George Lucas went to. You're just describing the words that make up the name of the team. That's what you're looking for. So let's meet our contestants. Up first is going to be Jose. He's in L.A. He's on line one, and he will get us going. Jose, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Are you excited about the possibility of being there in person Saturday to see the Trojans?
Absolutely. Big-time Trojan fan.
All right, great. Fantastic. Glad to hear. So I don't know if you've heard Title Fight before, but you have a very important decision to make right now. Do you take Allie and probably win the game, or do you take Dave and weep at the end of the program?
I absolutely want to go, so let's take Allie.
All right, Jose. All right. And remember, if you don't know it, just feel free to pass, and we'll go on to the next one.
And hang up on yourself.
So 45 seconds on the clock. Let's see how many of these Pac-12 football teams you can name. Good luck.
All right, two words. It's up in the sky. It makes you warm.
Arizona Sun Devils.
Yes. Quack quack.
Oregon Ducks.
Yes. This is a bear. Also, the name of a hockey team.
California.
No. Also, a name of a hockey team in Boston.
A Bruins.
Yes.
UCLA.
Yes. This is a type of dog.
Oh, Huskies.
Yes. A crazy feline.
The Wildcats.
Yes. Washington. Nice, Jose.
Look at that. Hey, I never even heard the buzzer at the end. What happened?
Well, we probably had more time.
Yeah, he had like 10 seconds left.
We had 20 seconds left. That's how you do it, Jose.
That was pretty good.
Bang, baby.
And by the way, Jose, with the name of the school, too, which wasn't even necessary, right? We just needed the
name. Well, I mean, he got the name of the school wrong, if you want to get technical. He said Arizona Sun Devils. It's Arizona State, dummy.
I think Jose did great. I think you want to maybe dial back on the smack talking until we meet Tyler, contestant number two. He is in Woodland Hills, and he is up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tyler, how are you, man?
Good morning. How are you?
I apologize. It's so early, and you've already drawn the short straw by having Dave Sanchez as your partner. But you know how the game is played. And remember Allie's advice. If you just blank on something, you have no idea, be sure to pass because you might have some time at the end, okay? But you got a lot of competition here because Jose came up with all of them. So you got to be pretty much perfect. All right. You ready to play? Let's do it.
All right. All right. Grizzly, brown. These are types of
bears.
All right. And
bears.
And what's the color?
Golden bears.
There you go. These chop down trees. These animals bite trees.
Beavers, Oregon beavers.
Yep. All right. This is a condom. Are they
Trojans? USC.
Yep. Trojans. All right. Older ladies are called these.
Grandmas.
Nope. When they're preying on the young men.
Cougars.
Yeah. All right. These are in Catalina. They're big and they're stinky. They have horns. Come on.
Longhorn.
What?
Oh, look at that.
Oh, no.
That was the buffaloes we were looking for there.
Oh, the Colorado buff.
Buffaloes is what we were looking for. So I'm sorry, Tyler. You had to
sorry
have
Dave, you
got
Dave Tyler.
As a partner. There's not your fault, but thank you for listening. Thank you for playing. Let's go back to Jose in L.A., who is a Trojans
yes,
fan.
Jose.
Jose, how are you feeling about your girl Allie right now?
Hello? Sorry?
You there?
I'm right here.
Jose, we're so proud of you. Thanks for making the right choice.
Hey, what time are you going to go tailgate?
USC.
What time? Why are you asking this, Dave? Well, I want to know. I want to know if I could go by and roll by, you know?
He doesn't want you there.
He's calling him a dumbass.
Jose does not want you there.
He's
we don't
hanging
want
out with
you
I
want
to share a beer with him.
He's not hanging out with losers. No, Dave. No, Dave.
Jose, thanks for listening. Thanks for playing Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Ralph, it's not like you to come out against Taylor Swift. I know, like me, you're a Swiftie.
The worst person ever.
But you started talking yesterday about something in the Showbiz Beat late in the show that we thought might be worth additional time, not just because of how it's working for Taylor Swift, but by how this this verified fan program that Ticketmaster is rolling out, which, by the way, I think we were pretty high on when we talked to the guy a couple of weeks ago in reference to the Springsteen tickets going on sale, right?
That's when we thought it would work.
Mm-hmm. We liked the idea of a verified fan because what they were going to do, the plan was you were going to give them a little bit of information about yourself and that they were going to source you and make sure that you were just a guy trying to buy tickets to see the boss. You weren't a bot who had bought 10,000 tickets for the last tour. They're right. trying to exclude people who are going to resell the tickets.
Right.
So now Taylor Swift comes out, and it was just a blitz of media on her last week because she released a new song and then released a new video, and then a whole bunch of stuff went up on her website trying to get people to sign up for this verified fan ticket thing because she is expected to announce a new tour to promote her new album in November. They're called Boosts. You uh-huh. register with the site, and if you want to move up in line to have more of an opportunity to buy tickets to get closer to the front of the line, you can do a lot of different things. You can watch the video of Look What You Made Me Do.
Multiple times.
Up to five times a day, exactly, and get additional boosts every time you do it. You can buy merchandise through the site, such as the T-shirt or the now infamous $60 snake ring, for instance.
Shocking. So she's giving you the swell opportunity to buy more of her crap with her name on it, and then you can maybe buy some tickets to her tour.
Yeah, by the way, it does not guarantee that right. you actually
get
the tickets.
I said maybe. Maybe you'll get tickets. That's great. She's really giving back to the fans. What a gal.
While the program certainly seems to favor fans who are financially well off, Ticketmaster and Swift say boosts are not essential to your chances of getting a ticket, though they certainly help. So is this kind of the equivalent of yeah, you might win the lottery with that one ticket, but you have a better chance if you buy 1,000 tickets? Is that kind of what
boosts.
We're looking at here?
I love the cute name they give it to, the boosts. It's, you know what? You can call some people nationalists, but still, you know what they are at heart when they're walking around with their white shirts and their khakis. You know what I'm saying?
What are they?
Nazis!
Okay.
And so boosts is just really another word for greedy scam.
Here's what a Taylor Swift representative said on Fox News yesterday.
Fox News. Fake news.
And by the way, before we hear from Dave, who thinks this is all a great idea, I'd also like to give out the phone number if you would like to call if you have thoughts on this boost program, on the verified ticket program, in fact, or if you have experienced this, as some texters seem to be suggesting at the end of the program yesterday, with other bands like Imagine Dragons and like Linkin Park. What kinds of programs are out there where you can do something to help you get a better chance of getting tickets to a show? Here's what the spokesperson said. If these same tickets were being offered on the open market, I guess they mean like they have been in the past. Scalpers would snatch them up and fans would be paying thousands of dollars for them. Scalpers and bots will not take the time to engage in legitimate fan activity. Taylor is rewarding her fans for posting selfies, watching YouTube videos, downloading her albums, things the fans are already doing. It's a great thing. This is a program that rewards fans for being fans and make sure they get tickets at face value.
Okay, great. Then only do Boost that. Do not financially benefit her.
Right, watching a video.
Selfies, post selfies, sure. Fine. Mm-hmm. That is all fine. But the minute you start saying you'll get a better chance, the more hoodies that you buy,
yeah.
Or the more snake rings that you buy, or the more money you put in my pocket, then I might give you more of a chance to give me money again to come see me in concert?
Gross.
Burn in hell.
So that's the turnoff for you. Dave, you said yesterday that you are fine with this. How
yeah, I don't have a problem with that because I think
you're rich. Because you're rich, Dave. That's
no,
why.
I am not rich.
You're rich, Dave.
Because I think it's like they're trying to get the fans, and these people are going to buy these items anyways. Like if you go to Taylor's website, everything's sold out. So it was sold out. And before people even realized that they were going to get the boost. So why not? Why
it's
not?
Because it's coercion. Because
but
you're,
why not
you're,
get...
you're trying to incite additional commerce by not even promising them something, by dangling something in front of them that they may or may not get.
No, what it is, no one's going to buy a sweater that they don't want to for a chance to get a ticket.
How do you know?
I got news for you, Dave.
They're
yeah, they
not.
Are.
They are absolutely not.
Oh,
they,
they're absolutely
they're
not.
They're not.
Because
they're
you've
gonna
done
buy the
a scientific survey of everybody who's bought merchandise on the site.
I will find everyone who bought it. But listen, you're going to buy the sweater because you want it. And when you get it, you get this extra chance. And I don't see a problem with that.
Because people are buying the stuff in order to get the extra chance. And they shouldn't have to pay money to get something that they're going to have to pay money for anyway. This isn't, if you buy a sweatshirt, we're also having a raffle and you get a free pair of tickets. This is, you're just maybe
but that's what it
getting
is, though.
A chance
it's,
to
yeah,
get in
still
line
a raffle.
To go. No, it isn't. Because then you're going to have to buy the thing that you get in line for anyway.
The truth of the matter is, for artists like Taylor Swift and some of the other ones that you know that sell out any stadium they choose to play at, most people who want to get tickets to get, to see the thing aren't going to see the thing anyway.
And
there's
this,
always
the going to
be
for this as well.
Yes, that
so,
is correct.
So the people who aren't going to get tickets also have the additional financial burden of having to buy additional merchandise too, in the hopes that maybe they will get tickets.
Somebody
why are you making someone pay for something, for an opportunity to do something that they're eventually going to have to pay for again at the end of the trip?
Somebody brought up a Depeche Mode yesterday in the text, and now we've got a call on that too. Scott's in Monrovia. He's on line one at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to call or text. We're talking about how tough it is sometimes for fans to get tickets to these shows and whether these new IDs are helping or hurting. Scott, what say you? Hello, Scott.
Did, buying their album. But the thing that was horrible was that once you, because I was like number 16 in line for L.A., and they're doing four shows at the Hollywood Bowl, but I was like 16, but then the ticket for like front row was like $900. I was like, oh, damn. So, I mean, you know, Taylor Swift's probably going to play six nights at the Forum or Staples Center. People are going to get tickets, but Depeche Mode kicked it off.
Oh, so you're saying Depeche Mode did it, and you didn't like it because it was at such a small venue? Is that what you're complaining about?
Well, I hate the Hollywood Bowl, but I'm saying, like, it was amazing that we could, you know, get good seats. But once you got the good seats, you still had to pay, like, an arm and a leg just to get that seat. Like, you know, it was like $900 for front row for Depeche Mode. So you had to pony up that money. You know, for people who are seeing them four times in a row, it's expensive. It gets really expensive to see them live. But my point is that I think it's a good opportunity as long as you have that cash. And Taylor Swift fans are so young, they don't have the $900 to see her front row. Like,
no, they have mommy and daddy's credit card.
Yeah, but did you have the opportunity to buy other tickets that weren't $900?
Yeah, I did. And but then again, I did have tickets. I bought the $200 tickets, which are really far back. But I see both sides, I guess I'm saying. But I would definitely, for Depeche Mode, I would buy all their merchandise to get
okay.
Seats. It just it saves me the time in the concert carrying around six T-shirts, so I think it's kind of cool.
But I think what Ralph's saying, not to put words in his mouth, is the other fans may love Depeche Mode just as much as you do, and now they might not get access to see those shows when they come to town because they didn't buy a bunch of sweatshirts. You know, if the program it works the way it's working,
why do I have to buy a sweatshirt if I want to buy a ticket? What if I just want to go to a show? Why should I have less of a chance than the guy who's going to buy six hoodies?
And concert tickets are so outrageous now. Anyway, people
they are
just. Scraping by to go to a show that they love. Now you're making me I have to buy a ring to get boosted up in the line.
I got to spend another 60% of the ticket price in order to get a chance to buy that ticket.
That's weird. Scott, red line stuff.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. All right, we got to take a quick break. We got some great calls on this, by the way. Some people who think it's a terrible idea. Other people are like, hey, no one's forcing you to go to a show. If you don't want to go to a show, don't get involved in the rat race. You know what I mean?
No, but that's different. Because
Let Nick describe what he's having to say.
Nick, I'm going to punch Nick.
Carol, Evelyn, Michael, Ashley, you guys hang on. We'll talk more about this. The Verified Ticket Fan Program with Ticketmaster is what we're talking about on the Kevin Amin Show. You can still join us, too. 1-800-520-1067 will be. All right, we're talking about this controversial new ticket program. It's getting a lot of attention this week because it's on Taylor Swift's website. It's a verified ticket program where you get boosts for the more activity, the more interactions you have with the site, or as Ralph points out, more importantly, the more money you spend on merchandise through Taylor Swift's site, you then get moved up closer to the front of the line.
And that's the BS part of it. I'm not saying don't have some contest. Who's the biggest fan? Show us your fandom. Show us your Taylor Swift love. Do post your selfies. Do whatever you want. As long as you're not asking more people to spend more money in order just to simply obtain an opportunity to then again spend more money and buy tickets for her show.
And I think that's a fair point. I will ask you this, though. Do you think what Taylor's rep said on Fox News yesterday, that scalpers and bots don't do any of that stuff, they're not going to engage in the website at all, so they're, for the most part, not going to be buying these tickets?
No, but if I want to spend extra money in order to get a ticket, at least with a scalper, I'm doing it up front. He's charging me an extra $100 for that ticket, and I'm paying it, and I'm making the choice to pay it because I know I'll get something at the end of that rainbow, which is those tickets. Okay. If I'm buying $60 snake rings, I can still not get the tickets after having spent that extra money. At least with a scalper, I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah, this is essentially just money in their pocket now. They're now getting money that you might not have spent, but you want your chance to be better. This is a way for them to kind of move up and make more money because they're losing it with scalpers.
It's like Taylor's her own scalper now.
Exactly.
She's
what
getting
I'm
the
saying.
Extra money on the
exactly
tickets.
What
but
I'm
I
saying.
Also think that by you getting this chance, I mean, so far we haven't heard if anybody who boosted has not got a ticket, you know?
Most people don't get tickets, Dave.
Yeah, but I'm saying if they boosted, I'm sure they got tickets. You know why?
No,
oh,
because,
my God!
Because, listen, I'm saying... I retract that. I'm sorry. But what I'm saying is all these people who we're hearing from have boosted, correct? So, and they got tickets. And sometimes they got tickets that they couldn't afford or tickets that they can. And, you know, it's if people get the chance to do this, they're going to do it. They're fans. They like this artist. I mean,
and there are a ton of fans that don't have that money that like them.
But there's a ton of fans who can't afford the ticket in the first place.
So that's why they want to be a verified fan. They sign up. They do a mailing list. They start tweeting out something. That's all they should be required to do.
Those fans get the chance to... I mean... Those fans get the chance by going online, looking at the videos, boosting the website.
But they're not buying a goddamn snake ring, boosting their chances even more, Dave.
But they have the chance to go to the website 5 times a day for Taylor. I'm just saying, because remember when Pearl Jam did this, where they tried to make everyone go to the venue and wait in line and buy the ticket, and you had to use a credit card? What about people who worked? People who couldn't, they're real fans, but they couldn't get out and wait in that line. Was that wrong?
This conversation with you is pointless.
No,
because you're not even talking about what we're talking about.
I'm coming from the fans' point of view, though.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Dave's talking about a different kind of jumping through hoops in order to have access to buying tickets.
We're talking about buying merchandise,
yes,
Dave.
And as a fan, I would buy that merchandise.
Because you have the money to
spend. You're not getting that.
But even if I don't have the money, I would go to the website. I would...
We're not talking about that.
That's all that it should be.
Let me pause you guys because you're repeating yourselves. Let me pause you guys. Let's take in a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067, including Dave from Ticketmaster, by the way, who we'll get to right after we talk to Carol's in Manhattan Beach, Line 7. Thank you for patiently hanging on and listening to us yell at each other. Carol, what do you have to add to this conversation?
Well, I agree 100% that buying the extra merchandise is bogus. But I've been on both sides of the spectrum. Group Love has done it. Imagine Dragons has done it. But it's usually selling the album, and then you get an opportunity to go ahead of the line. Mm-hmm. And it makes it difficult because maybe you don't want to spend the money.
Right.
But I've done it because I also don't want to give StubHub the extra premium.
So you don't like it, but you've used it and it has worked for you? You have been able to buy tickets when you've wanted to with a boost program like this?
I agree. I do not like it. I've used it. I've also had it not work. But it's a crapshoot now because of bots. It really is. We go to about 40 concerts a year. and getting tickets is getting harder and harder. So you have to take every advantage.
Right. So when you're given the opportunity to spend extra money to maybe get tickets, do you feel pressured to make that choice because you're desperate to get those tickets?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're going right. to Imagine Dragons, and we had to pay. We bought the platinum seats because we couldn't get regular seats.
Yeah.
Now, that's ridiculous.
All right, Carol, thank you for the call. Appreciate you calling and hanging on. Let's get David Marcus on the line.
I'm not blaming any fan who does this because they're desperate and they're fans and they want to go to something. I'm not blaming the fans. I'm blaming the artists who put these machines in operation that make the fans feel pressured to buy additional stuff in order to have an opportunity to spend their money again on these artists and see them via the concerts.
Let's find out what Ticketmaster has to say about it. David Marcus is on the line. We spoke with him a few weeks ago when we announced this program as a result of the Springsteen on Broadway. He is the Executive Vice President and Head of Music for Ticketmaster North America. David, were you just listening, or did your social media blow up when people heard we were talking about Ticketmaster today?
Yeah, I could hear the emotion just cruising through the airwaves in Los Angeles. I appreciate the intensity of the argument.
People are very passionate about their music, as you know, being in the music business. But I mean, this Taylor Swift thing is rubbing a lot of people, including a lot of her fans, the wrong way, that are saying, look, I just can't afford it. It's expensive enough to go to a concert these days. Don't make me jump through financial hoops to get access to tickets. What say you?
I got a couple answers for that. First of all, totally understand, you know, that reaction. Taylor's trying something new here. I was a big part of the discussions about this, and I know this is an effort to really, as Dave was saying, reward the fans for the behaviors they engage in anyway and build something for her audience that matches their behavior every day. She has an audience that collects music, collects merch. They buy everything she puts out there, and she's trying to figure out, how do I connect that behavior that's going to happen and reward them for it?
She's rewarding her wealthier fans, David, who can afford to buy that extra stuff.
Well, look, I know for a fact, because I can see the data, there are tons of things you can do that don't cost you a penny that get you boosts.
Does it give you an equal boost?
If you want to go on every day and watch the video and share and tweet, you're going to be in a great spot. Allie,
so if I have to keep doing that every day versus buy a ring, if I had the money, I'd buy the ring if that gives me a bigger boost and I don't have to sit there every day.
The money, what are you complaining about? If you had the money and you want the ring, buy the ring. Great. If you don't have the money, share, watch videos.
And work harder. Work harder for tickets if you don't have the money, is what you're saying.
It seems like a lot of work.
Let the poor people jump through more hoops, is what you're saying, David. Right?
We're not asking poor people to jump through hoops.
Sure you are. If you're poor, you gotta watch a video five times a day. I have to post a selfie. I have to do all this other stuff. But if I got the cash, then I can just buy a hoodie, and I'm on equal footing with that person.
Are you a Taylor Swift fan?
No.
Okay.
But I am, and I'm very concerned about not being able to see her the next time she tours. I've seen her four times, David, so this makes me nervous.
Okay, well, get on there. Be a part of it. Share with your fellow Swifties.
So let me just ask you this, David, because we don't have a lot of time, and we weren't expecting you to call in, but you don't think there's anything to the criticism. The people who have raised the objections, as some of you've heard while you've been on hold here today, you just don't think they're valid? You think those people are wrong?
Oh, I'm not going to tell people that their opinions are invalid or wrong. I think we're all trying to break new ground here. We're trying to make it so that fans can be fans and that tickets aren't simply like this argument, right? Take this out. Tickets, they're too expensive. The scalpers got them all. They're $1,000. I don't have $1,000. She's my favorite artist. So how do we get those tickets in the hands of her real fans? Well, first we have to know who they are. And one of the ways we know who they are is because they're the ones who collect the records and tweet and watch videos and do all that stuff. And we can reward them with the tickets they want at face value.
We would feel better, though, if that was as Ali pointed out, if that was an equal boost to buying the sweatshirt and the snake ring. If we felt like just doing that was equal to the other thing, but it didn't look like it's laid out like that.
Why not just make those activities how you get boost rather than bring commerce into it and put more money in her coffers with the merchandise purchases?
Flip the argument. How would you feel if you're like, I bought all those records because I collect all her records, and I bought her merch because I love her merch, and I got treated the same way as the person who sent a tweet?
Sounds right? pretty entitled.
At some point, nothing's ultimately fair. and we do our best, and she does her best.
No, that's not true. That's not true. It's fair. It's everyone's on equal footing, and they all have to do things that don't involve spending extra money. That's the definition of fair.
Yeah, but Allie, we're talking about separating.
No, you're connecting merchandise to ticket purchases. That's the problem. If someone wants to buy merchandise, there's a million ways and places you can go to buy Taylor Swift merchandise if that's your purchase. But a purchase for a T-shirt or a sweatshirt or a ring shouldn't be tied in with the possibility of buying a ticket. You should be able to buy what you want to pay for.
And you can. And you don't have to do any of this if you want to get a Taylor Swift ticket.
Well, I hope you're right. That's my takeaway, is I hope you're right.
Well, look, somebody was shouting before, maybe it was Ralph, about going to a scalper. You'll have plenty of opportunity to go to scalpers at some point on this tour. I'm sure there'll be some scalpers that have some tickets.
Will he sell me a snake ring?
All right, listen, we're going to have to leave it there because we are desperately late on time. David, I'm glad your antenna were up and you heard that we were talking about it. It's always good to hear from you. We appreciate it. And I know that we're, you know, like you said, you're trying new grounds, trying to keep the tickets out of bots. I don't know this is a perfect solution, but we'll see how it works out for the tickets when they go on sale in November. Thanks for joining us today, all right?
Keep it going. Bye,
all right,
guys.
You bet. Bye-bye. Thanks. Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. It is 7:53. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on? What's new? What's happening?
Allie, I'm sorry, but Hot Felon is off the market.
That teardrop tattoo?
Yeah, sorry. Oh. I won't be able to put a ring on it because he's already put a ring on someone else.
Oh, no.
Chloe Greene. His $5 billion heiress girlfriend.
No.
Yeah.
Boy,
her father has about $5 billion in his net worth. And so Hot Felon Jeremy Meeks is currently dating Chloe Greene, and he has proposed. Now, this may upset his wife, Melissa.
Oh, no.
But he did file for separation last month, so, you know, the wheels are turning. Machinery's in place.
Yeah, her dad owns, like, Top Shop and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory, if you know, Ralph. What did Hot Felon get arrested for originally? What put him in jail that made his mugshot so famous?
I think it was three felony counts of super hot.
Yeah. And he was guilty as sin.
That's right. Felony sexiness, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I think he had a gun or something, and since he had
he's
priors.
Got a gun.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
Right? I think because he had priors, that's where it all stem from.
Yeah, he used that gun prior.
Yeah,
and the talk was when he. I remember when that mugshot went viral. The talk was, well, this guy's, you know, never going back to a day job. He's a model now. And did he end up, in fact, doing some modeling after he got out?
Oh, he got signed.
Career.
He does runways. He's in ads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Blown. And now he's got an heiress girlfriend.
So crime pays, kids. That's the takeaway.
No, that's not what we're saying. I think being hot pays is what we're saying.
Okay.
Be win the genetic lottery, and even if you're a punk. Be good, look good doing it, I guess is what we're saying.
Right. Okay.
Which is what we've always said about our show. Our show may not be good, but we look good doing it.
Sure we do.
Right? American Idol. Everybody's talking about American Idol.
Nobody's talking about American Idol. Nobody.
Everybody's talking about it. You were talking about it yesterday. You were saying, who are the new judges going to be? Have they said who's joining Katy Perry? Didn't you say that yesterday?
Allie did, yes.
Oh.
And I said, nobody cares about American Idol. That's what I said.
Well, they asked Keith Urban if he might come back to rejoin the panel of judges on American Idol. And he said it would be great if it happens, but no sweat if it doesn't. So apparently he has no answers
for us. No one
cares.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're spending on this show, but I mean, if they're paying Katie that, what, $20 million, whatever it is?
Something like that.
They got a lot
invested.
15,
I think it's 10 for Rai Rai.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm terrible at predicting ratings, but I have a feeling people are not going to come back to that show in droves. I just feel like we already lived that. We've seen that movie, you know?
Well, let me tell you about a fresh idea for a TV show.
All right.
Producer Linda Perry is putting together a singing competition show where singers will compete against each other in
work?
A competition
no.
on a reality show. But here's the hook. There's a hook. You know Linda Perry is, right?
Yeah, she's a singer-songwriter.
Yeah. Of course, she was the lead singer for Four Non Blondes, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And then went on to many successful hits for Katy Perry and the like. Mm-hmm. Her new show is called All Girl Band. We're looking for the female Rolling Stones, she told Variety.
Moist.
And so they're going to be auditioning in cities all over the United States. New York, Nashville, Chicago, Seattle, Austin, New Orleans, Los Angeles. And they're going to pick up 50
singers, guitarists, bassists, keyboardists, drummers, who then will battle it out to become the all-girl band, with a prize being a contract with a record label and a tour as well.
So specifically, they're making this a rock group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, female rock
group.
That
is interesting, because almost all of those shows are just pop and urban, yeah. Right?
Right. And that, country.
That might
extent.
Be interesting.
Yeah, I'd be willing to watch actual musicians up there. That would be cool to
now,
see.
Now, it doesn't say here whether you have to show up as a band or whether you can just show up and they will combine you with other girls to make a band that competes.
I feel like it's solo, do. Yeah. You have to show up on your own, because they're not going to just...
Then they mix and match people?
Yeah.
So it's like the Monkees. They're putting together a band on
just
television.
Just like the Monkees, right?
Like Simon did with One Direction. He just took five solo artists and made them a band.
But that's different for singers.
Right.
I think singers, you can get them together and make them harmonize and stuff easier than you can to try to create the organic the sort of chemistry of a band. Mm-hmm. You know, putting just random musicians together and saying, okay, now you're going to be a band. I don't know if that works out as well.
Now, what's the? Do you have any details on the age limit? I'm wondering if we can get Chip in on this show.
It's all 60 and up, which I think is also odd.
It's unusual.
Yeah, looking for elderly women.
It's an untapped market.
Damn it! Playing bands.
Sorry, Chip. So sorry, I thought I had something for you there.
You're much
next time.
Too young. No, Chip. You should absolutely audition. You could
kill it.
You could kill it.
Yeah,
leave
why
that,
not?
The William Hung Hard On band behind and
me and
move
Muggs,
on.
Me and Muggs should go do it.
It's for girls. Chip. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Hey, I heard that. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Richard Gere, 68 years old today.
Singer, boy, he's a good actor.
He is very good. Yes.
I think he's been nominated for an Academy Award. I don't think he's ever won, but he is he's that caliber an actor, I think.
I think his problem early on in his career was he was just too damn dreamy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he became a sex symbol almost before he became recognized as an actor.
Well, because of his felony mugshot, remember? People
no,
saw him
very,
and just fell in love with him,
no,
and
he was
dragged into show business right away.
I remember American Gigolo was his first sort of breakthrough role, and he played a guy who boned older women for money. He was a gigolo. And I think that sort of labeled him for a long time as sort of a himbo. You know, he was sort of became a male sex symbol movie star versus people recognizing what a talented actor he was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then he went on to actually pay for hookers.
That was Pretty Woman. That was just a film.
Oh.
With Julie Roberts.
Oh, I thought,
he wasn't really paying for hookers.
Right. Huh. Chris Tucker's 46 today. Sarah Ramirez, who's a very talented actress and singer, is 42. And speaking of girl bands, Debbie Gibson, right? Singer, songwriter, producer. Remember for a while she was trying to get us to call her Deborah Gibson?
I do.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Debbie Gibson is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jim Rome, you guys, is the host of the most popular sports radio program in America, at least at my house, jimrome.com, from 9 till noon, weekdays, West Coast time. And we'll talk about the new podcast in a minute because Jim had a very exciting first episode. But first, let's welcome the man to the show as we do every Thursday at this time. How are you, Jim?
Bean, what's going on, bro? How are you?
Great to talk to you, although I'm a little bit nervous, and I'm hoping that you can help us out here. We're all walking around hangdog in the office here today because we have seen mortality. We now see what the Dodgers look like when they're not the Dodgers. 4-game losing streak is something we never thought we'd see this season.
Bean!
I'm serious.
Stop it.
I know every team. Look, I'm a Mariners fan, so they have 4-game losing streaks every week. Okay,
sucks
so I'm
for
used
you.
To I'm used to seeing it. But for Dodgers fans, this is the season of destiny, Jim. What's going wrong at the end of August here?
All right, so this is why you bring me in, so I can provide reason, drop a little knowledge on you.
Yes.
It is time to sound the panic alarm. 4 losses in a row.
No.
Time to freak out. They're not making the postseason, and even if they do, guys, there's no way they're getting out of the first round. No way. That's the manual buzzer. That is lame. Memo to both Dodger fans who are tripping and Beer Mug's mom and Dodger haters who are running their mouths. Chill the hell out. Sure, they lost 4 in a row, but to a couple of good teams, the Brewers and the Diamondbacks, not a couple of slugs like the Phillies and Mets. They're getting healthy at the right time. A little adversity this time of year is fine. They are the team to beat. Chill the hell out. Everything is fine. Fine.
Okay.
Bean.
I do feel a little bit better, and you're right. They have definitely had some people out. Cody Bellinger came back last night,
yes.
Right? Clayton Kershaw's coming back on Friday.
Yes.
So the pieces are coming back together. And it, look, it's a long season, and you're not going to win every series all year long. It's just not even possible, right?
They are the best team in baseball. They will be until somebody beats them. Here's the key. Until somebody beats them four times in a seven-game series, not four times in August when they've already lapped the field and boat raced everybody. Chill the hell out. It's all good. As far as Beer Mog's mom goes, I mean, all respect, don't be a cooler. If you're going to come around with negativity, we can't have that.
All right. I was going to ask you, Jim.
Don't be a cooler.
Since the Angels may or may not make the playoffs, the Dodgers, it sounds like, aren't going to make it. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from what you have to say. It's time to turn
You're not listening, bro. They're going to make it. They're going to be fine. Okay. So let's turn our attention to what?
Let's turn our attention to football. We are so dangerously close now to the NFL. I mean, it's getting real now.
Hey, the thing is, the football season, you're right. The NFL is getting close. It's getting real. But the football season actually started several weeks ago, not with the NFL, but with the LFL, Legends Football League, formerly known as the Lingerie Football League. Oh. Now, there is a reason, okay? They changed the league's handle from Lingerie to Legends because of moments like this in a recent game between the Atlanta Steam and the Chicago Bliss. Running back Christel Ferrari-Harris took a shot that she did not appreciate. Listen.
Jane Caldwell with the option back to Harris. That was nearly a fumble. Atlanta's defense all over the Ferrari.
Hey, I'm going to show you how excited when you eat my...
The Ferrari throwing shade at Atlanta.
Throwing shade, that happened. She went there. I should have warned you first. That was an oral bomb on the field. If an NFLer, listen to that nervous laughter. If an NFLer talked that kind of junk during a game, Roger Goodell would probably suspend him for a year or ban him for life. I thought I'd seen and heard every kind of smack talk from every kind of athlete. Never anything like that. And, Bean, as legends go, there is plenty more where that came from.
Stop! Bitch ass. I wanna beat their wives up. What do you think would happen if I beat their wives up? So cute. I don't give a f right now, bro.
This is all women's football, and that sort of thing is being said on the field over and over again. So, while the rest of you are tripping and jonesing for college football in the NFL, I've been checking out the greatest game on earth, the Legends League.
Hey, I'm gonna show you how excited when you eat my f.
Wow.
Whoa.
Like that... Allie, it doesn't get any better than that, does it, Allie? Does it, Allie?
No.
You. Is that on TV, Jim? Is that on the Ocho? Where can I see Legends League football, apparently?
Yeah, right? Now you want to know.
That's unbelievable.
Is this a pay channel?
You, I think, can pick that up. You can stream it. You can stream it. I think you're not going to get that over air on a network, but you can stream it. Hey, Allie, come on. You watch that stuff. Allie, you should try out for the Legends. You're athletic. You have an extremely foul mouth. Allie, you should do it.
I could probably be queen of that league. Who are we kidding? Right?
Right?
You got the smack talking down, that's for
sure.
Queen. We're doing our weekly visit with Jim Rome here from the Jim Rome Radio Show. I mentioned the podcast at the top, and this is new to folks who haven't been paying attention. If you're not a clone, you don't know, Jim Rome now has a separate podcast that is separate from the radio show, available everywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, or whatever. And you had a killer debut episode, I'm told, Jim. Talk about your guest, dude.
Bean, you're like the best guy ever. You're like the best dude ever. I mean, what a blast.
So
we had episode number one.
Yeah.
And not only did I have Aaron Rodgers on, but right in the middle of my conversation with him, I sort of lost my dome, and then I dropped an F-bomb on him. There was an assistant at Purdue that apparently sent you a note that said, quote, good luck with your attempt at college football. I mean, did you open that up and say, are you f***ing kidding me with this? Or am I misreading this, Aaron? And was he actually being sincere and trying to be nice?
I mean, I think he probably should have reread that after he typed it.
Bean, now I know what it's like to be you and Kevin. Now I know what it's like to do your show every single day. What
Jim, I feel like we're rubbing off on you.
Yeah.
This is
I
not the old you guys. Jim.
I always wanted to be you guys, and now I am. And can I hit you with one more thing?
Yeah.
Not only did I drop the profanity, but one of the guests did as well. My other guest was a former two-time world champion boxer, Paulie Malignaggi. He came on, he has serious beef with Conor McGregor, and then he started spitting straight fire.
He's got washwoman gossip-like qualities. He makes stories up. Not a real man as far as keeping a man's word. There's just nothing to respect about the guy at all. I was calling him the same things when we were sparring. I was calling him a bitch. I was calling him a bitch. I was calling him a p***y.
I'm telling you, like, I thought podcast being were supposed to be laid back and conversational. That thing got really graphic really quickly.
Yeah, you do find out when you take the leash off a broadcaster, anything goes. That's what I'm hearing. That sounds like a must listen, Jim. So you'll be doing these, what, every Tuesday? Is that the plan?
Every single Tuesday. And I'm telling you, after episode one, I kind of got caught up in it all. I think by the end of the season, I might have sex on the air or something. I mean, these podcasts are
fun. What's happening with you?
I don't know, Allie. It's like I started doing a podcast and it just took me over. Like I got injected with some weird drug.
You've changed, Jim.
Right? Really? Right? That's episode one, Allie. Wait till you see episode two. I'm going to go to Van Nuys and tape.
Oh,
I'm
going
to go
dear.
To Chatsworth and tape
Poor
out.
Poor Jim.
Yes.
Our little boy is growing up. You can check out the radio show. Without the F-bombs at jimrome.com from 9 till noon to get the podcast. Where you get the podcast. Great chat, Jim. I love you, man. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
And you're so good. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's Lit on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, quick reminder, tomorrow at this time, I hope you'll be listening. It's going to be a very special Kevin and Bean Show. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun because it's a Labor Day weekend we're kicking off. We're going to be doing all cover songs. It's not too late for you to get your request in. If you want to text us at the usual number, 1-800-520-1067. You can reach out on social media if you'd rather do it that way. Or if you've got a favorite K-Rock cover song that you'd like to help introduce on the radio, leave us a voicemail message on the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. So right out of the gate tomorrow morning, all your favorite K-Rock cover songs all day long on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know it really does feel like summer when it's 150 freaking degrees outside.
Yeah, but it feels like Mercury, actually. This would be the new song.
But I wanted to mention that there is help on the way. There's hope on the horizon because we talked about earlier this morning. Apparently, the reports are that the pumpkin spice lattes are available at Starbucks starting tomorrow. So at least that's a tiny little taste of fall for some people, right?
You son of a bitch.
I'm just saying the association is there with cooler weather if you have that steaming hot cup of coffee tomorrow.
You son of a bitch.
So pumpkin spice coming to Starbucks. It's that time of year. 8:51, Dr. Drew after the top of the hour. Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Leah Remini, you watching the new season of
I didn't know it was back on already.
I didn't know it was on either.
Oh, come on, people.
I didn't know.
Stay current.
I apologize. I had no idea.
Season 2 of Aftermath
has already debuted.
Yes, we're like 3 episodes deep.
They did not do a good job of getting the word out then.
Well, maybe because you got your head up your butt. Because
well,
I knew it.
Definite.
I was there.
Yeah.
I've been watching.
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check and if you don't, they'll kill you.
I talked to the Gale family this week. Oh, my Lord, this family.
What are they going through?
Oh, it's just the eldest boy jumped off the green building at MIT. He was like the poster boy for Elrond's study tech, how to learn, and he was at MIT when he was 15 years old.
Oh, goodness.
Dropped out, went back in, had all kinds of depression issues because his father, who was also a member, passed away of a sudden heart attack due to some training that he was doing with Scientology. Took his own life. His sister finally got out, was living in the family land along the Oregon Trail that the family had been in the family for 110 years.
Yeah.
Found a man, married, had kids, separated from her mother, of course, who will have nothing to do with her because she's betrayed the church, was living on the family land and just found out that mother is selling the family land, acres and acres, that have been in the family for over 100 years.
Not to the church.
Cashing it out and to give the money to the church. So she needs to find a new place to live.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because Leah is talking again about her show now that it's on the air doing some press. And she said to People Magazine that she was pressured to recruit co-star Kevin James from King of Queens into the church while she was with them.
I don't doubt that.
They put a lot of pressure on her to snatch him up and add him to their celebrity cavalcade of faces to represent the church. But she said early on, he expressed to her that he was a devout Catholic, didn't want anything to do with her church, and kept saying, don't give me that Tom Cruise stare to her when she would try to talk
to him
about it. Yeah. So he rejected her out. And they're working together again now on his new show.
Yeah, I was thinking it must not have burned the bridge that he said no because they're
no, apparently she said she did it in a very half-hearted kind of way because she never felt comfortable trying to pressure people into the church.
Right.
Now, the church, meanwhile, has released a statement saying that she's simply trying to get attention and that she used to call Kevin James a bully all the time to them at church. So apparently they're trying to poison the relationship between the two of them. But
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
Yeah, I got a list.
How long's too long for a movie, I wonder?
Look. Most movies, I think you'd be happy to get out of there in 2 hours, 2:10. Most movies.
That's how I feel. I feel 2 hours is sort of my cap.
That's long to me.
That's long enough to tell any story.
Sure.
But I say that, something like Dunkirk comes along, and isn't that 2.5 or something like that? And people are raving about every minute of it. You know what I mean?
Dunkirk. Right? That's what I call it.
I wish it was done, Kirk.
In the right filmmaker's
right?
hands.
That's
what Hallie said when she went to see it with Kirk. I wish this movie was done, Kirk, she said.
But I will say there are two goddamn 2.5 hour, 2 hour, 40 minute movies. There's too many of those.
I have to pee. It's just.
Now?
No, oh, during oh, a general. Movie yeah. in general.
Yeah, bladder. You do have to do some bladder planning you if really you're going do. Into some films.
Why do you bring this up, Rob?
Because they've just announced Blade Runner 2049, you know, is coming out with Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling, Jared mm-hmm. Leto, Robin Wright.
Looks great.
Does look great. It's going to be in theaters everywhere on October 6th. They just announced the running time and people are talking about it.
Uh-oh.
2 hours and 41 minutes.
That's a long movie.
That's a long movie. Especially with mumbles in there. Going, anyone didn't get on there, but they have all that together. A lot of the androids going, pew. Nice to do your job. I'm just saying, it's a long.
It's a long time.
Maybe they'll Han Solo him early.
Have him reunited with his son, so to speak. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to suggest that you should make sacrifices on your art and the sake of commerce, but wouldn't movie theaters be so much happier if these movies were 2 hours and they could get in an extra showing a day, too, as down as the box office is?
Sure. Yeah, I think that would it would benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. It's 2:41.
Yeah, it's long.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
But they should give you a final pass at that, and you could trim it down a little bit.
Trimming. I bet there's some fat in there we could lose.
Yeah. Not Gosling, though.
No, he's dreamy.
Thank you.
Venice Film Festival opened up yesterday, speaking of movies. This movie, there's a movie that premiered there. In fact, it opened the festival that I'm dying to see. I really think this is going to be awesome. I think you're going to be hearing a lot about it, and you probably haven't heard anything about it yet. But it's called Downsizing. And it's from Alexander Payne, who gave us, of course, those other great films.
Election?
Election, that's what I was thinking.
Oh.
One of my favorites.
Love.
And the wine movie, the Paul Giamatti
Sideways?
Wine movie?
Yes.
Sideways, that was him too? Yeah.
And Deuce Bigelow, I think.
No,
I'm not sure, Deuce Bigelow. Not sure it's the same guy.
It's not his film. It stars Matt Damon and Kristen Wiig. Do I have your attention?
Done.
And they play a husband and wife scientists who decide to shrink themselves down in order to save the planet's resources. And this allows them to live a luxury lifestyle for a very small budget.
Like Dr. Shrinker shrink them down?
Yes.
So like little tiny people.
Right?
But they look like Barbie dolls.
But the world isn't set up for them.
But they're going to set the world up for themselves like that. And they're going to try to get the whole planet to come along.
Huh.
What a great idea, right? Here's the rest of the cast, by the way. Christoph Waltz. Laura Dern, Jason Sudeikis, Neil Patrick Harris, Niecy Nash, and Margot Martindale.
Take my money.
Come on.
Take it.
It's the greatest thing ever.
It does sound good.
Doesn't come out till Christmas here in the States, but it opened up the festival, and I've been looking forward to seeing this movie for some time.
Now, Ralph, of course, I remember The Incredible Shrinking Man, the sci-fi classic from the 50s, but weren't there there were other movies where they made little people, too, right?
Disney made little people.
Are you thinking of, like, The Borrowers?
I don't know what that is.
You never read The Borrowers as a kid?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh,
what's The Borrowers?
Only
did I just miss a great joke?
Yes.
Well, there's, of course,
plenty of shrinking.
Wasn't there like
there's
a Disney...
Incredible Shrinking Man has been Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Sure, exactly.
There's
yeah.
been Land of the Giants TV series with Irwin Allen. I mean, there's been plenty of small people.
Well, I think Alexander Payne is going to put his spin on it, though. That's going to be great. That does sound great.
I agree.
He did The Descendants, too, I think, by the way. Maybe.
Yeah,
yes,
he did.
Right.
Nebraska?
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's the real deal.
He's batting 1,000.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing okay.
Except amazing. For that Deuce Bigelow misstep, I really think. All of his films have been great.
I don't believe he acts. I think Chip was incorrect on that. I don't think. Oh, he did about Schmidt, too.
Come on!
Yeah, he's good.
He may have the best track record of any movie maker ever.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Jurassic Park 3.
What?
Jurassic Park 3?
Jurassic Park 3 was his?
Yeah.
As director?
What? Not as director.
Not a director. He didn't direct that.
No.
Really?
You're fake news, Allie.
You are fake news.
You're fake news. Did you hear about the kid who put magnets in his penis?
What?
I am not sure of that leap, but not
just
sure
like
what
a
happened.
Vag? I was reading the article in the other room, and it's been on my mind the whole time I've been talking about other stuff. Can't stop but thinking the 11-year-old boy who put magnets inside his penis.
And like, how'd that work out for him?
Not well. They had to take him out surgically.
Why did he do that?
You know what buckyballs are?
Oh, dear. No.
Buckyballs are tiny little, looks like BBs, but they're magnetic, and they form shapes and geometric shapes and stuff. They're toy. It's a toy you play with. But
okay.
But this 11-year-old kid put the little buckyballs inside himself, 26 of them.
He forced them down?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Right? How many times do you have to do that before I go, I'm not doing that again?
Yeah.
One. I'll give you one buckyball. And then you make the realization that nothing should go in there in that opening.
Yeah, that's exit only, man. Yeah,
26 buckyballs.
Okay.
And then they're magnetic, so they formed a mass inside of him. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Yes. Buckyballs.
We're
keep
horrified.
Keep the buckyballs out of your penis, is what I'm saying.
Good advice for the kids.
Thank you. If you take nothing else away from today's show, keep the small magnetic BBs out of your penis, kids.
Moist.
Thank you, Allie. Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Gere is 68 years old today. Debbie Gibson turns 47. Chris Tucker's 46. Sarah Ramirez celebrates her 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
I'm so glad Dr. Drew Pinsky is on the line. We got a lot of ground to cover with the good doctor, including, hey, first of all, welcome, sir. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning.
Dave showed me some screen caps of a video that I have not seen, and it's you in a bathing suit in a pool on like some sort of a floaty. What's happening?
Oh, now we're talking.
Go on.
Yeah.
Speaking of porn, it's a public service announcement. It's a Many Versus Cancer, Save the Male is the campaign. Did you see the headlines this morning about the new treatments for cancer? The way you, it's a very personalized genetic therapy where you.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're involved in that research, and that research that those breakthroughs occurred to some degree because of the breakthrough that we funded. And it's time, we just thought it's time for people to understand the Prostate Cancer Foundation is funding some of the most creative research on Earth. And these genomic personalized medicine is breaking out now all over the place. And we are really getting on, we're going to be able to cure cancer soon. Oh, so this is our big fundraiser, our big public service announcement. And Rob Briggles is in it, and Dax Shepard is in it. And Dax and I are doing a satellite media tour next week. And it's just, we're all just trying to raise money for cancer treatment. And this is not like many verse. This is not like Stand Up to Cancer. This is money where we just, this is the old Michael Milken organization. We just hand money to research and go, do what you want. Nobody else does that. Yeah. Nobody else does that.
Well, we're going to post that video right away as a result of this conversation, and we'll put it on the Internet Roundup tomorrow, too, and we'll definitely promote it because that, when I saw that story, I really did think, as you did, like, this is the beginning of the end of cancer. If they can start getting your own body to start fighting against cancer cells, that's amazing stuff.
This is it.
All right. Well, you mentioned porn when you came on, and we had a conversation off the air yesterday, Dr. Drew, that I think we need an adult to weigh in on. I heard
you
something.
You asked Ralph to come in?
Yes.
That's why Ralph is here.
Yes.
I heard something on the radio, and I apologize that I do not have the information they were quoting in front of me, but there were some staggering statistics on how early and how often little kids, and I mean 11, 12, 13 years old, are accessing and enjoying pornography on their mobile devices. And I thought, there must be a million ways that can screw up a young person's development, right?
Absolutely so. And we don't even know the full effect yet. I mean, imagine if we were just studying some other primate and we exposed them to some stimulation and then 10 years later tried to look at the behavioral output. We don't know yet. I can tell you, I've discussed on this show before that relationships are being affected by it, particularly in adolescent young adulthood. But what you're talking about is the huge number of kids that are exposed to pornography by the age of 11, and that's almost all kids. That's the crazy thing. And I think I've said on this show before, you may have missed it, but my friends that work in the field of sex and pornography addiction are now treating porn addiction as early as age 10.
Oh my God.
Is there anything titillating for the children at that age, or is it just confusing and disturbing?
Confusing, overwhelming. The way we describe it, it shatters the upper limit of the brain's regulatory capacity, so they look at it much the way they would look at any other extreme sort of stimulation. Hard for them to look away, likely to go back with confusion and curiosity, and can become a preoccupation. Like when we say porn addiction at age 10, it's not the way a 17-year-old would get porn addicted, but it still is a preoccupation, and it overwhelms them, and they go downstream into more stimulating material. And it is, I think, it is going to have a profound effect on our relationships and our sexuality. And you could start to list all the different ways that it can affect people. I mean, there are sort of sociocultural ways how men treat women, how women think about women, how women think they're supposed to be or look, how the sexual action is supposed to be, what sex is in a relation. All that stuff is affected. But more than anything else, it's taking people out of relationships and into the cyber world where they stay, as opposed to engaging in the usual milestones of social interaction.
Well, Drew, we've seen just in adult users of pornography, regular users of pornography, how it alters expectations and anticipations when entering into a sexual relationship with another adult.
Yep, that's those sociocultural layer to this. And in a weird way, that's kind of the most superficial aspects of it, right? Those are the kind of, as you say, the kind of expectations and what people think of themselves or think of others or how this is supposed to work. It's almost the narrative aspects, but there are deeper biological aspects to this, too. People need higher levels of stimulation. People look for and hunt for things in a way they wouldn't otherwise, and they don't know how to integrate this or position this in an intimate relationship generally. It's almost like a separate phenomenon, like a chemical or drug.
I wanted to ask you about another thing that we had a conversation with off the air, Dr. Drew, and that is, how does this affect particularly girls, their body image, if they're seeing porn stars at 11 and what their bodies look like?
Right. Well, obviously not good. But interestingly, I'm, because I'm deep in millennials with my own kids, we're seeing a little backlash against that. They're sort of, they really are taking on the body shaming sort of phenomena and owning it and saying, look, there's different body types and they're all beautiful. And they're really kind of, they're doing a great job with that, I think. I don't know if it's going to actually push it back sufficiently, but they're certainly trying to own that territory.
Well, I was saying, pornography aside, I mean, they get that message already even from mainstream clothed media,
right?
with fashion covers, yeah. and with videos and with the stars on Disney and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but now they're getting it with people's clothes off.
Right.
And the images and the sort of extent, what's accentuated is even more extreme, right?
So what does that say about young men and wang size? That's where I really think the confidence, the crisis of confidence would be. Mm-hmm. If I'm an 11-year-old and I'm looking at those massive wangs, I'm thinking something's wrong with me.
Well you're on massivewang.com, Ralph. That's your problem.
I have two thoughts. Remember, I work with Mike Catherwood, so I have to deal with this every day.
That's true. He's got his own issues with that insecurity.
Number two, and Ralph, call me after the show.
All right, we'll talk about it.
All right, last question for you on this issue that Dr. Drew Pinsky is, fortunately, Ralph's still a few years away from this conversation, but what do you advise to parents? How do you have that porn conversation, whereas you used to just have to worry about the sex conversation? How do you deal with it? What point do you introduce it?
Well, early and often, and the question is how, and I don't claim to really fully have a grip on that yet. A friend of mine named Lisa Stroman, you guys ought to interview her. She has a website called digitalcitizenacademy.org. where she is interested in this topic and trying to develop consensus about it. Her big thing is how young people are very young, are sexting and doing that material, and that's trafficking in child porn. Every time you do that and receive that,
right?
And so that's a big issue. So that's sort of where her focus is. But she's also interested in this as well. And I think the way to approach it is the way you look at any other. Think of it as a toxic element in the environment. You know, you don't touch this, you don't eat that, and you look at this, it could harm you. Now, it might make them more curious. I don't have the data to support this yet, but I would police it like you would any other potentially destructive stimulus or phenomena in the child's environment, and discuss it often. And if exposed, I think the important thing is to get the kids back to the parents to talk about their feelings or what they saw or what they thought that was, or, you know, because as always, you know, the parent is the opportunity to process the material, to metabolize it, so to speak. And kids are pretty resilient if they have a close relationship with the parent. So that's your opportunity to sort of mitigate the whatever this is going to do to kids.
Also, Bean, I think, Drew, that parents in general, sometimes are not owning up to the responsibility of controlling the consumption of internet materials.
100%.
And online access that their kids have.
100%. Or they just don't really believe or understand.
Or they think, hey, not my kid, too, by the way.
They think not my kid, which is the scariest statement a parent can ever make. But they just don't really quite understand what is raining down on these kids. Now, people that are in their early 20s today, when they have kids, probably not going to make that mistake. but people in their mid-30s don't haven't been exposed to it the way the rest have. And you have to get very realistic, and you have to educate yourself. I can remember, listen, back when my kids were in middle school, I was raising my hand asking the question, and what the school said back to me was, that's every family's personal decision. I went, what? This is the one thing I don't understand, and you're telling me it's a personal decision. They clearly did not have their head around it, and most organizations don't yet because we just don't fully know.
Because there are safeguards and things you can put on your kid's phone.
But
and
even
on
with that,
tablet.
I'm telling you, Ralph, even with that, that's my point. The kids are operating on a schoolyard, they're 6 months old. They get right around it. Their friends show them stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, of course, you put every electronic barrier on there you possibly can.
I want to put my child in a medically induced coma from the age of 10 to 25. Is that recommended?
It'd probably be okay.
Remember the good old days of that total adrenaline rush when you stole your dad's magazine looked at it? Those days are gone. Now that rush is coming from watching more hardcore and more hardcore things. I don't have kids is what I'm saying.
Well, again, I
Let's
think that
just
may be extreme
stop having
as well.
Children.
But Dean, I didn't know Allie grew up as a adolescent boy.
I'm very excited about that.
You got a lot of things to learn about me, Drew.
All right. DrDrew.com is the one-stop shopping for all of Dr. Drew's live appearances in the podcast with Adam Carolla, the weekly infusion. Of course, along with Mike Catherwood, you can find him weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on 790 KABC. And don't forget, get a doctor come to your house in the privacy of your own home. Real medical care with the Heal app as well. Good chat, man. As always, thanks for coming on. Bye-bye. 941, Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning Kevin Amin show on K-Rock. What is new? What's going on?
White Snake.
New.
That's all that's going on. That's all anybody cares about.
Let's see if I can imagine. Why is
We've already talked about my obsession with White Snake.
Well, understand.
Here I go again on my own. Yeah.
Why is Whitesnake back in the news?
Well, we talked about them remastering their legendary album, right?
Yeah, 30th anniversary edition of that album, right?
Exactly.
Just
remind you.
Bringing it up again?
No. Tony Kattan is in the news. Tony Kattan, who, of course, was the legendary model who was focused and featured in the Whitesnake videos and went on, I believe, to marry their lead singer, David Coverdale.
And a baseball player.
Chuck Finley.
That. Yes, Chuck Finley.
I thought Chuck was first or was David first?
I feel like David would
David
be first.
David was first, then Chuck Finley?
Let me look up on my Tawny blog.
Regardless, she's got some boob problems.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Can I help?
Oh, dear. Oh.
I'm offering
oh my
to
God.
Assist a young woman with a problem.
Jeez. What?
Now that makes
me
that's
a little
bad,
creepy.
Bad guy. I am a doctor.
Of creep.
What's going on with
a PH creep, right? You guys familiar with Botched, the television program?
Yes.
Botched?
Sure, yeah.
My wife, by the way, obsessed with Botched.
It's pretty good.
She can't get enough Botched. And here's the thing. We were talking earlier, Dr. Drew, about exposing your kid to inappropriate material.
Mm-hmm.
My wife sits there with my daughter to watch Botched.
Well, she wants her to know that these things could go wrong.
And the kid is like locked in, and I'm averting my eyes from some of the stuff, the procedures they're showing on that show.
Graphic.
I'm like, Olivia, aren't you freaked out by that? She's like, no, it's cool. And she like watches operations and stuff.
Maybe she's going to be a plastic surgeon.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, I hope she gets rich and takes care of her old father.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And by the time she's old enough to be a plastic surgeon, you'll need plastic surgery, so that'll be helpful.
Oh, funny man. Tawny's on Botched because she wants her implants taken out.
Well, we're not going to allow that, are we?
She said her sixth boob operation was a disaster.
Wow.
And now her implants have slipped out of their mesh holders, which I didn't even know there were such things, and are now at the bottom of her rib cage.
Oh, dear.
It's not where you want your boobies.
You do not.
You don't want rib boobies. So apparently in the new episode, the doctors have to come together and try to work on her rack. And that episode...
Shoot. Where'd my left nipple go?
Right? That's what she's asking.
Question.
The episode apparently airs tonight on E! So you can check that out if you want to see what Tawny's up to these days.
My nipples are so hard.
Back in the day, in the Whitesnake days, she didn't have much boobs.
No.
And apparently she said that made her insecure. And so she went through not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six procedures enhance her... Clivage.
We're a funny people, us
ladies. Aren't we a funny people?
Because she was insecure not having breasts, but
that was like the sexiest woman people had ever seen in their life in that, dress,
sure, man.
Doing those walkovers on that Jaguar, but nuts. She wasn't getting that.
She had like a gymnast body, and that was the sexy part athletic. Of her, was that.
We're so, very complicated.
Women be nuts. That's what you're saying, right?
I'm just saying
women
we're layered.
Be nuts.
I'm just saying
she
we got
does
a lot
have
of,
great cans.
A lot of feelings.
Big juicy melons.
Okay, Bean.
Like Bean's people are coming out in force. These lunatics are converging on a famous movie location. They're UFO fanatics. And can you imagine where they are, where they're all gathering?
You mean Roswell? Where am I going next weekend?
Are you really going there?
I'm thinking about it. It looks pretty cool. Wait, you're talking about Devil's Tower, Wyoming, right?
Devil's Tower, Wyoming, yeah. If you remember the Steven Spielberg film Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that volcanic rock formation was featured heavily in that film. It's the shape that Richard Dreyfuss makes out of mashed potatoes while he's dining with his kids.
You know I've been there, right?
And in the finale, they show up. That's where the mothership comes over, and where Francois Truffaut and the other members of the scientific team are there. And they boop, 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 boop. Remember, is it ringing a bell, Allie?
No, I've said yes 5 times, but why are people going there now?
Because they're dumb. Because
we're waiting for the aliens to come.
Why do you think they're going to go there? Because they saw the movie? Because they caught it on Netflix? And they said, oh, I guess this is where all the aliens hang out?
Allie, my people have decided that the UFOs are coming, and that's when they're coming. It's a rendezvous. They're calling it the rendezvous, right? Is that the right? Do I have that right?
You're absolutely right, nut loaf. Devil's Tower UFO Rendezvous is the name of the first annual gathering on September 14th. UFO experts are scheduled to speak. Oh, can't wait to see them in their tinfoil hats and their plaid pants. There's going to be live music, a parade, and a big barbecue. Because everyone knows that aliens love some barbecue. Can't get enough of baby back ribs. You people should all burn in hell.
Look.
Here's the idea. You know what? I'm not against anybody gathering anymore. Now I want everyone to gather everywhere. I want the white supremacists to be in Charlottesville. I want being a UFO lunatics to go to Devil's Tower. And then what we do is just drone strike after drone strike. Okay. And we just cleanse the planet. Fire must cleanse us.
But they're not gathering thinking that they're going to be taken away. It's just a gathering of like-minded individuals
to kind of share them, right? Let's surprise them and take them away
when they show up.
Honestly,
they're not going because they think that's the date that they're not expecting any
extraterrestrial visitors, I don't believe. But they are getting together to celebrate because it was in a movie once about aliens, so apparently they think it's the real life location.
A movie celebrating its 40th anniversary this summer. That might have had something to do with why they put this together.
Yeah, but it's not Close Encounter fans. It's not Spielberg fans.
No, it's UFO people. Look, I've been to festivals like this.
Every time you start a statement with look, by the way, something dumbass is going to come out of your mouth.
I have been to events like this in Roswell, New Mexico.
Come on!
And it's a lot of fun.
What? Why?
Because it's a lot of fun because there's lots of UFO alien themed things and like you said, parades and costumes and concerts and foods and speakers, and it's a good time.
I will back Bean on this though.
Thank you, Allie.
The biggest regret of my life is when a wonderful musician, after I did interviews with him, called my news director and said, "We would like to invite Allie and a news crew to Roswell, New Mexico. Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson." And I didn't go.
Whoa.
I back him on this.
That has nothing to do with the UFO nerds.
But they were searching for UFOs, the two of them.
But that's Willie Nelson. That's different. It's not Bean and his fruitcake friends hanging out on the top of a mountain.
You don't think there's tons of edibles going down on rivers?
Yeah, well, you know, Bean loves the party. You know, he's enjoying all those edibles and mushrooms. Listen, what? Bean doesn't like regular people. He won't come down here to spend time with the people he works with.
He doesn't like
He hates people, but he'll go to the freaking mountaintop.
Those are my people. They're open-minded, and they're nice, and they're fun.
Yeah, every time you see a special on UFOs and you talk to the loons, they all seem like a great batch.
I think that was a trifecta of diss for us, is what he did. Open-minded,
so none of those
nice.
Things? Is that what he said?
I think fun, that's what he was doing. Fun, yep. Yeah.
Good folks. I'll see you. See you in Wyoming, Ralph.
The only satisfaction I get is knowing that Bean will never go and actually do any of these things.
I'm very close to thinking about it.
He's penciled it in.
Just think about it.
He's got it down for a good funk.
I have a very busy September, and I'm not sure if I have time. But if I can, I make it, I'm going to make it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Gere is 68 years old today. Debbie Gibson is 47. Chris Tucker turns 46. And Sarah Ramirez celebrates her 42nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Speaking of aliens,
yeah,
who's
right
here?
Hey, Muggs.
I come in peace.
Oh, my Lord.
Just go.
Muggs, did you hear the great Jim Rome calling out your mom today?
Yes. Jim said my mom was the cooler.
The cooler.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Don't bring your negativity around here. Here, Muggs, mom.
We had her on the air, and don't you know, the Dodgers lost four in a row, so all of a sudden we're getting a little bit nervous, but... Jim says we're going to be fine. So
I hope so.
All right. As you know, we are running out of time because we're running out of summer for this new 2017 K-Rock Summer Sticker available at all SoCal Hot Topic locations. By now, you know you can enter to win everything from the Green Day playing your garage to front row tickets to see him at the Rose Bowl, a new Honda, a $500 Hot Topic gift card. You can get those at any SoCal Hot Topic locations. But there's something special for you today if you go where Muggs is going to be from 1 till 3. What's up?
Today is the final stop on our Summer Sticker Tour. We will be at the Northridge Fashion Center located at 9301 Tampa Avenue in Northridge. We will be loaded down not only with Green Day tickets, Cal Jam 17 tickets, Fall Out Boy, but we'll have Imagine Dragons, Kings of Leon, High and Low, Paramore, Gorillaz, The XX, and more. And you just have to show up. We'll be there from 1 to 3 p.m. And since it's our last stop, I might do something big for this one.
Oh,
I might run around the mall naked.
You're not going to do that.
You said something big. Oh,
no, that's not nice.
It was
1 to 3 today at the Northridge Fashion Center at the Hot Topic store. There, have a good time, Muggs. Hey, on your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. All right, tomorrow, too much show. I'm telling you right now. We got the USC football tickets for the home opener this weekend. Jay Baruchel is going to be joining us, a very funny actor, now directing. He did the new Goon movie, Ralph. He directed that.
Yes, he did.
Because he's Canadian,
I think he directed the first Goon movie, too.
He didn't? This is his first, yeah.
He wrote the first Goon movie.
Now he's decided to get behind the camera, too, so we'll talk to Jay about that. Also, how's this for a combination of words? The Red Bull Smash Gods and Gatekeepers Super Smash Mouth Brothers Melee Tournament is happening this weekend at the Wiltern, and we have Leffen on to talk about it tomorrow.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
Well, you will tomorrow at 8:05, and that's big news in the gaming world. We'll be talking to Leffen on the show tomorrow. And tomorrow, we're going to keep it 100 like we do on Fridays. But in a way, the whole show is kind of a keep it 100. If you've got a K-Rock cover song that you'd love to hear, and I'm sure we're going to be playing a lot of your favorites. I can almost guarantee you're going to be hearing some, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers doing Love Roller Coaster and Johnny Cash doing Hurt and some of the ones you might expect. But I think there's going to be a lot of surprises, too, and that's on you. You can text us. You can leave a message on the Afro line. You can hit us up on social media. Help us put together the playlist for K-Rock cover songs. That's tomorrow, all morning, right here on K-Rock.